Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
Chapter 18, verse 1. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." Verse 20. So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." And notice the response of the people. But the people did not answer him a word. So look at verse 45. Let's look at 44. "And it came about on the seventh time that he said, Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. And in a little while, the sky grew black with the clouds and winds. And there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And watch this, when the hand of the Lord is on you, he girded up his loins, and he outran Ahab to Jezreel." You may be seated. We want to continue in our series, God Will Provide. That's the series title. Subtitle this morning is Standing Alone. There are times when we will stand alone. So what will you do when God calls you to stand alone? Last week, we looked at chapter 17, and we found out that God raised up a man named Elijah out of nowhere. And Elijah came out of nowhere to pronounce a drought on Israel. And he stood up before King Ahab, and he said, "King, I'm pronouncing a drought. It will not rain until I say it will." And he literally prayed this prayer. And God honored the prayer. He honored the command because God told Ahab that he had turned all the people's heart from him. That Ahab had set up the Baals. We looked at that last week. That's a false god. And then his wife, Jezebel, set up also the Asherah pole. So you look at his wife, she was domineering and dominating in the marriage. And she literally turned his heart from the Lord. And Ahab did more wicked in the sight of the Lord before of any other king. So now Israel has moved from God to start serving the Baals, false idols. And God raises up Elijah out of nowhere to pronounce a drought. And last week I said to you, you have to be very careful how you erect false gods in your life. Well, Pastor, I'm not serving the Baals. No, that may not be your false god, but your false god could be your car. It could be power. It could be prestige. It could be your career. Matter of fact, it could be your spouse, because some people worship their spouse more than they worship God. Matter of fact, it could be mom or dad, because we honor our parents, but we can honor our parents so much that we get out of alignment, because God is a jealous God, and no one, no man, no property, no things, no stuff should come before your relationship with your holy God, because no one can take care of you like your God can take care of you. So here's Elijah. Elijah prophesied, or he pronounced a drought for 3.5 years. And watch this, a review, chapter 17. Elijah pronounces the drought, and he goes into intentional hiding, that God says, "Listen, you are going to hide by the brook Cherith or Kereth, depending on how you pronounce it." Don't miss this. The meaning of the brook is the place of cutting. It's the cutting place. It means to hide or conceal. So God was doing this to Elijah. Elijah was obedient. He pronounced a drought. God took him, placed him in intentional hiding. He hid him. He covered him. But then he started cutting across Elijah's character. And every now and then we get beside ourselves because Elijah was rough and rugged. He was an independent man. Although he loved God, he was a man of courage. You can be in the church and you can love God with all your heart. And every now and then you can get beside yourself. So God has to put you by the brook to cut on your character to show you it's not about you, but it's about me the whole time. But here's what I love about God. God fed him by the brook. God took ravens. We discussed this. Ravens don't even take care of their own young. Ravens are scavengers. Ravens eat from dead carcasses. Ravens are thieves. He took ravens and he fed the man of God bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat at night. God can take care of you, although he cut across your character. We said this last week. Here's Elijah at the brook, and it happened over a process of time that the brook dried up. And there are times that our brook dries up when God is cutting across our character. What's the brook? Your job. What's the brook? Your health. What's the brook? Sometimes your marriage. That stuff will dry up, but God says this, even though that stuff dries up, I still have more provisions for you. So God feeds him with the raven, bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat at night. He takes him and he says, listen, I want you to go down to Zarephath. Here's the meaning of Zarephath, smelting place, melting pot. So God took him, cut him, and said, listen, I've cut enough. Now I'm going to refine your character. He sends him to Zarephath to see a widow. Elijah sees the widow. He gets down to the widow. He tells the widow, listen, I'm hungry. Make me a cake first. She says, no, I'm gathering sticks. I want to make a cake for my son and myself, and then I'm going to die. But Elijah says, if you do what I'm commanding you to do, you will never be without provisions. So she goes in, she makes the cake, she gives it to the man of God. He eat, and watch this. The flour never ran out, and the oil never ran out. God is the only one that can provide in amazing ways. So now we're in chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 1. Elijah's been hiding for 3 years, and all of a sudden, God tells him, come out of hiding, and I want you to go back to Ahab and tell Ahab that it's going to rain. So Elijah's coming back to meet Ahab, and a man named Obadiah comes to meet Elijah on the road. So as my grandfather said, I'm cutting across the field because I don't want to give you all of this. So Obadiah meets Elijah. Obadiah is afraid because Obadiah is in the king's court. He is the administrator over the king's stuff. And they have been searching for Elijah for 3 years. And Obadiah is afraid that the king will kill him because he thought that the king may have thought he hid Elijah. So here we go. We meet them on the road. And all of a sudden, they meet on the road. And Elijah says this, listen, I want you to tell the king I'm on the way. He tells the king that he's on the way. And Elijah meets the king in verse 17. Verse 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is this you, you troubler? He said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, because you have forsaken the command of the Lord. What can we glean from Elijah? What can we glean from Ahab? What can we glean from this narrative? Here's the first thing. God will send a drought in our lives when we forsake him. When you forsake God, God will cause a drought to come into your life. There are consequences for forsaking God. Listen, don't get caught up in the preaching that you'll never get sick, you'll never get broke. If you live long enough, you will get sick, and every now and then you will get broke. And sometimes God causes you to become broke intentionally to send a drought in your life because you are propping up more stuff before him than putting him in his proper place. So you have to make sure that the drought is not because you are forsaking him. There are consequences to forsaking God. And we have to realize that when we forsake him, God is so wise that he will send a drought in our lives. So can I give you an example? Romans chapter 1. We don't like to read this in the church. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Please do this. When you get home, read verses 24 through 28. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over into their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurities for the degrading of their bodies with one another. In other words, God told the church at Rome, since you want to do what you want to do, I'm going to back up. And I'm going to turn you over to yourself and allow you to do what you want to do with yourself. See, when you back away from God, God has a way of just backing up, even in his loving kindness, to let you see, listen, it's never about you. This whole time, it's always been about me. That's why I sent Jesus to the cross to die for your sins, because I love you so much. I love you with this extravagant kind of love that I sent the only begotten of the Father to die for you. And you got to be careful about erecting, putting other things in front of God, because when you forsake the commandments in your relationship with God, God will send a drought. God says, hey, you don't want me? I'll get out the way. You don't want me to be first? I'll back up. What do you do when your problem is God? See, when your problem is God, you can't fix that, because God is the only one that can fix that. You have to be very careful that the drought is not because you have forsaken him. So he says, listen, here's a drought. But watch this. Ahab says, wait a minute. You are the trouble of Israel. And Elijah says, no, it's not me. You're the problem, you and your fathers. Sometimes we blame God for stuff that God's not doing. We got to do a self-inspection. And we do not like doing critical analysis of ourselves. Every now and then, you have to pause long enough to check your attitude, to see where you are bitter, to see where you haven't forgiven people, to see how nasty you have been, to see where you fail to love people with the love of God. You have to check your own attitude. Stop blaming folks for stuff that you can control. You can control what you can control and allow them to control what they can control. So Ahab says, no, you're right. I'm the issue. So watch this. Elijah says this. I tell you what. Let's have a battle. Since you think Baal is the stronger God, I tell you what. Call your boys. Call your prophets. Call your posse. And let's meet on Mount Carmel. So Ahab takes 450 of his boys, his prophets, and they meet on Mount Carmel. So here's the second thing you have to realize, is that your identity in the Lord needs to be so secure that you are willing to stand alone. That there are times in your life that you will have to stand alone. That your friends won't stand with you. Your co-workers won't stand with you. And even some of the members in the church won't stand with you. Can I drop this in for free? Just because everybody come to church don't mean they're connected to God. Some people come to church just out of tradition. Some people come to church just to get what they can get from God. But I love those who come to church to give back to God. They want to give God praise and worship. They want to give God thanksgiving. And they don't mind giving God some of their substance, because they understand the money that they have is not even their money. It belongs to God. How do I know? A cattle on a thousand hills belongs to him. Silver and gold belongs to him. Everything that you have, you got it from God. So Ahab says this, I tell you what, I'll meet you. And Elijah stands alone. Verse 20. So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel, and he brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Verse 21. Elijah came near to all the people, and he said, watch the question. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Verse 22, and Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet. Underline that. He declares that he is alone and he is still God's prophet. That he confronted Ahab because of spiritual rebellion, and he went to the mountain. And he got to the mountain by himself. Can you do me a favor? Underline that phrase. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? When you do research on the text, you got to get good. You got to be just like an investigator. That we come to the Bible and we don't start moving stuff. We look at the Bible and say, what do I see and what does it say? if you look at what it says, Elijah says this. How long? He's challenging the people. Here's the word picture. Elijah says this. How long will you stand between two crutches? How long will you stand between two sticks? If God is for God, run with God. But if Baal is your God, run with Baal. Can I say this to my teenagers? When you're on campus, you got to understand who you are. Your identity comes from Christ, never from your friends. And the problem we face, even when I was a teenager, I drew my identity from playing football and sports. But God had to take that to show me my identity was never in football. My identity was in Him. So don't get caught up in being identified with who you run with. Be caught up in God. Because God will do the things that you need Him to do, because He'll always show up on time. So Elijah is standing there alone. He's secure in being alone, and he understands that his identity is in God. So the people did not say a word. He's challenging them, and they won't say one word. Here's the problem. They was caught up on their girlfriend, Ashtaroth, and they was caught up on their boyfriend, Baal, and they thought Ashtaroth and Baal was causing all the increase in the land. And that's why God sent a drought, to show you it's not about those false gods, but it's been about me the whole time. Can I say this while I go to my next point? Be careful that you don't allow the culture and society to tell you how to run your marriage. Your marriage is found in the Bible, because the Bible clearly says in Genesis, I believe chapter 2 or 3, that Adam and Eve came together and they are one. If you are married, hear me here. If you are married, you are not two. You are one whole unit. You are whole, your wife is a whole, but you come together to make one whole unit. That's Bible right there. And you have to be careful that society doesn't dictate how you run your marriage, how you run your finances, how you should look, and how you should act. And that's the problem with social media, because we always want somebody to like us. Don't worry about how many likes you're getting. Sometimes people scroll by your page and never like, but they really like what you're doing. And that's why you can't go by how many likes you get. We got too many teenagers caught up in social media. But truth be told, our adults caught up in it too. Well, she didn't like my page. I don't care if you like me. That doesn't take anything away from me. I'm still going to be Eric Anderson, nicknamed E-Dog. I'm still going to work out. I'm still going to go home and eat. I'm still going to take care of my family, and I still plan on going to work. It doesn't matter how much you like me. What matters is, do I like myself? Do I love myself? Because God loves me. And if God loves me, I'm not going to hate on myself. His identity. He stands by himself. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. At the point that you trust Christ as Savior, you are new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all is new. There is newness in your life. It doesn't mean that you're going to stop doing those things overnight, but there should be a gradual process of changing your life, that the things you did 10 years ago, there should be a gradual process that you're leaving those alone. So the people did not want to commit. Here's what we like in the church before I move. We want the blessings of God without the blesser, who is God. We want to take God and get what we can get from him, but we don't want God and we don't want to commit. So the people had a problem committing. And you have to understand that when you commit, Jesus says this, they will hate you for my name's sake. Be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. Jesus has already overcome. And if greater is he that is in you than he is in the world, you are an overcomer as well. You are overcoming this morning. So if you have to stand alone, stand alone. But be for God and don't worship those false gods. Here's number three. Elijah connected with God through prayer, and he experienced a miracle. Number three, Elijah connected with God through prayer, and he experienced a miracle. So can we just read for a little bit? So he challenges them. Now watch verse 23, and we're almost done. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one oxen for themselves, and cut it up, and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Elijah's telling the prophets what to do. And then he says, put the fire under it, then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of my God, and whoever answers by fire, he is the real God. And all of the people said, that's a good idea. They didn't want to commit to committing to God, but all of a sudden they want to commit when Elijah stands up alone. Sometimes people won't commit until they see you commit. And leadership is not always easy. That's why everybody can't be a leader, because they don't want to be criticized, they don't want to be talked about, and they don't want to commit. But if you're going to be a leader, you have to commit and realize you will be criticized and everybody won't like you. So the people says, hey, that's a good idea. We're going to join you. Verse 25, so Elijah says to the prophets of Baal, choose one oxen for yourself. Prepare it. I'm going to let you guys go first. And I want you to call your God. Your God will put fire from heaven. I want you to take that ox. I want you to cut it up. And I want you to set it on the altar. They cut the oxen up. They prepared the oxen. They put the oxen on the altar. And all of a sudden, they're chanting. I don't know what they're saying, but they could have been saying, Baal, come on. We worship you, Baal. We worship you, Baal. And they was doing this all the way to the afternoon. And all of a sudden, Elijah started making fun of them. He says, maybe your God is deaf. Maybe your God is out to the restroom. Maybe your God is going on a journey. Just maybe your God is taking a nap. Scream louder. They start screaming louder, and they start cutting themselves till they start bleeding. See, you have to realize that there's only so much your car can do for you if you make your car your God. Your car can only get you to point A to point B. And every now and then, if you're like me, I have 300,000 miles on my truck. My daughter's laughing. My truck about to break down. Can I say this? I had a member get on me last week. Pastor, I saw a little smoke come out of your truck. Pastor, I heard a little clinking. I realized that if I make that my God, sooner or later that God is going to break down. But what I love about God is he will never break down. He will never run out on me. He will never go to sleep. He will never get tired, because he is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. So they start crying louder. They start cutting themselves. And I like old Elijah. Here's where we get to the prayer. Verse 30. Elijah says, that's enough. That's enough. Shut up and be quiet. Here's what I want you to do. It's time for my God to show up. So Elijah calls all the people to the altar. He repairs the altar that had been turned down. He took 12 stones according to the number of the sons of Israel. He put the 12 stones around the altar. He told them to put the oxen on the altar. He told them to take water and put it on the oxen and let it flow down all the way to the trenches. He told them to build a trench, and then he told them to dump more water on top of the sacrifice. He wanted to show them that I truly serve a living God. So watch this. Verse 36. And at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, oh God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me, that this people may know that you are God, and you are God alone, and that they may turn their hearts back to you. And all of a sudden, the heavens opened. Fire came down. Fire consumed the oxen. It consumed the altar. It consumed the sacrifice. And the people realized that God was the only true and living God. Here's what we should get from that. That they prayed with, Elijah prayed with boldness. And when you pray with boldness, you can expect answers to your prayers. But you got to pray with some boldness. You can't be wavering in your faith. James says it this way, that if you're wavering, you're just like a man on the sea being tossed to and fro. Let not that man suppose that he should receive anything from the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You have to believe that God will perform a miracle, not just on your behalf, but it's on his behalf, and it's for his glory when you have boldness. So watch this. Boldness. He prayed, pronounced a drought happened. That's boldness. Chapter 17, he gets to the widow's house. The widow's son dies. He takes the son's body. He goes to the upper room. He puts the son on the bed. he prays, he lays on the sun three times, boom, the sun came back alive. Can you see boldness in prayer? He prayed down fire from heaven. That's boldness. Elijah prayed and he expected answers to his prayers. How many times do you pray and you expect answers? How many times? Here's what I love about God. God would answer our prayer not only because we have faith, but every now and then when I don't exercise faith, grace kicks in. Yes, woo! Thank God for grace. That even when I don't have faith, he just grabs grace and says, listen, my child don't believe me enough. Let me drag grace into the picture. And grace is unmerited favor that even when I don't deserve it and I don't believe, God still shows up and he still provides a miracle to show me that he was God all by himself. And here's the next thing about Elijah's prayer. Elijah's prayer pointed people back to God. His prayers pointed people back to God. How do I know? Can I do a review? Chapter 17, when he prayed for flour and oil, God met the needs of the people. That's why I said God will provide. He answered their prayers. When the widow's son died, God met the need because he shows that he cares about our deepest need. When he pronounced a drought, and then he goes back and pronounces a rain, God shows up to show that he's in control the whole time. When you are bold enough to believe God for the impossible, God will show up on your behalf to show you that I am the only true and risen King. Here's the last thing. When we publicly trust God to do only what he can do, he will provide. Don't miss that this morning. When you trust God to do only what he can do, he can provide. Can I say that again? When you trust God and you get out of the way and you watch God work on your behalf and you let him do only what he can do, he will provide. Well, Pastor, what did he provide? He provided the rain. He provided a heavy shower. And then, write this down, he provided power and extraordinary strength. He provided power and extraordinary strength. Where did you get that? Let me show you, and I'm done. Verse 41. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of the roar of heavy shower. Not just rain, but something heavy. God will give you blessings in abundance, something heavy. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. He crouched down on the earth. He put his face between his knees, and he said to the servant, go up and look now. Look toward the sea. So the servant went up, and he looked. Elijah, there's nothing. So Elijah said, whoa. No. Go back six more times. I want you to go back seven times, the number of completion. Go back seven times, and you're going to see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And God brought that cloud all the way to the nations and poured down a heavy rain. I don't know about you, but I want God to pour down some heavy rain in my life. That when I need blessings and when I need joy and when I need strength, God pour it down, rain down on me, shower till my cup overflows. And we have to understand that's the kind of God that we serve. So watch this as I close. God gave Elijah power and extra strength. Look at the last verse and we're done. Verse 46. So he gives him heavy shower, and I love this. So Miss Crystal, you can go ahead and get on the keyboard. Watch this. Verse 46. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins, and he outran Ahab to Jezreel. Did you see that? Elijah outruns a chariot for 20 miles. That God gave him so much power that he outran a chariot for 20 miles. Bro was putting in work. He didn't get tired. He ran long enough because he had the power of God, and the power of God produced extraordinary strength. And when the Lord's hand is in your life, and when the God is present, he can do anything. He will get anything done when you submit to God. So here's my question as I close. Are you willing to stand alone? When society goes against you, are you willing to be the only voice that would declare the blessings of the Lord? Because being a Christian is not popular. Because every now and then, you will lose some friends. But the Bible says there is one who sticks closer than any brother, and his name is Jesus. And the old Baptist preacher would say it this way: he died on the cross. He went into the tomb, but God got him up on the third day. And what I'm saying is, you have a king who loves you so much that he died for you to reconcile you back to the Father, to give you some power and extraordinary strength. So as we close in prayer this morning, God says this: I will provide. And there are times when you will stand alone. But as you stand alone, will you trust me? Will you commit to be the only voice on your campus? The only voice in your workplace? Sometimes the only voice in church. You may be the only voice in your home. The only voice in your community. And you see God pronouncing a drought, but you will stand on the declaration of the Lord, because in the end, God will give you heavy rain.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.